worship so often is, these days, is led basically from the front. You have a band, don't you? And the band does all the, and everybody else sort of semi-spectates, really. And that's okay in certain situations, that's fine. but one of the things I think that we, the church, need to get back to as well is actually moving forward in worship ourselves. Because I think if we're not careful, we're dragged along into worship rather than leading in worship. We get dragged along by the beat, the band, or the musicians. And I think even some of the older hymns, we need to sort of look back and go back to some of the older hymns, some of the great truths. Yeah, John Wesley, you know, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." And realise that there was power, and they were quoting scripture. And if you and I focus on a lot of the choruses that are being produced today, much of that is about me, and having a good time, and God doing things for me. And that's not really what it's about. It's about we are worshipping God. And as we worship God, He will do great and mighty things. You, in one sense, you won't have to ask God to do something because His blessings are already upon you. And the Word tells us that His blessings will overtake us. So the situation is you don't need to be standing saying, "Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me." You need to be on your way doing and praising God. And as you're on your way doing and praising God, the blessings will come overtaking you, you see. And so those are the directions that we've sort of got turned around a bit over these last few years. Not directly as part personally, but, you know, that's the way everything's gone, church-wise. And we were setting up a Christian camp, weren't we, this Monday. Well, I did one on Saturday as well. And they have music on while you set it up, you know. They did. And this is what you could hear. And you're at that for 4 or 5 hours. I'm thinking, if I don't turn that thing off, I'm going to put my foot through a speaker. You know, absolutely. And I thought, must be my age. Yeah. It was all the time. And I sort of thought, must be my age. So I said to one of these young girls at the side that was also setting up, I said, "Is it me?" I said, "But that music is absolutely..." Well, I said, "If you can call it music." I said, "Just, you know," I said, "it just don't do a thing for me." She says, "No," she says, "and me neither." I thought, oh, good, it can't be my age then. She was younger than me, by the way, just in case. You know, that just, you know. No, our lot were putting it on. Well, not our lot. Our, yeah. You sort of walked up this passageway towards the gents, didn't you? And it was quiet up there. And then you think, oh, sanctuary, you know. Go to the toilet. You walked in the toilet door and there's Radio 1 blurting. You know, I think, oh, no. So, but yeah. God loves music, by the way. God loves music. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter, the second book of Chronicles. Chapter 20. Yeah, second book of Chronicles. Chapter 20. Mm-hmm. You found it? Good. Verse 16. This is about Jehoshaphat and about a great battle. And basically, if you read all the chapter, he seeks the Lord and gathers before the Lord and seeks the face of God. If you read verse 4, and Judah gathers themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And so they're standing and seeking God. What's their situation going to be about this battle? And then verse 16, and God speaks to them. And verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against them, behold, they will come up by cliffs of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and faced to the ground, and all Judah and its inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. That's worship. Giving adoration. Bowing before him. Acknowledging that he is God and that he is mighty and powerful. And that he is the one who does hear and does answer our prayers. Be sure of that. Sometimes he may not answer it in the way that you want him to answer it, but he will always answer. Sometimes we get the wrong ideas. And verse 21, and when they consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Take note, that gets read over quite easily. And he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You can just read it blandly like that. But Jehoshaphat, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. That's the key. It is about singing. It is about worshipping unto God. It's not singing just to get your emotions and to get goosebumps, but it's singing to unto the Lord. And as you do that, then as you're singing unto the Lord, you begin to touch heaven. You begin to touch his throne. And you're entering into the presence of God in a mighty way. And when you begin to enter into his presence, and when you begin to touch the throne room of God, the power of God is being released. You can't get much closer to the source than being in the throne room. And that's the place where God wants his church to be. In the throne room. Now you say, but we live on earth. I'm talking about touching God in the throne by the Spirit. God is Spirit. We have to touch God by the Spirit. All right, guys? You found something?
No, I'm just noting that the way they were worshipping, you know, singing the verse, but then it says the king's face was touching the ground.
Yeah.
They all bowed down with him, so they were all with their faces literally.
Yeah, and it's a place of vulnerability, but it's they themselves submitting to God, submitting to the word of God, to the command of God. No, you can't. And it's submitting to that, you know, that word of God and that command that God told them what to do the next day. And so, he, Jehoshaphat, appointed singers to sing unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You know, you've got a load of soldiers who think initially, they're going out to fight. And the word will have gone round, don't worry, lads. Don't worry, you won't have to fight. Yeah, I've heard that before. You know, there'd been Thomas in there somewhere, wouldn't he, you know. I've heard all that before about we won't have to fight. Yeah, I remember last battle we were in, they said to me, don't worry, you won't have to fight. Well, there we were flinging stones and dodging all arrows and everything. Yeah. And so they're in this situation, and you can imagine that within the army there's this, well, are you sure we won't have to fight? Well, what we're doing with the swords and the spears and everything else here, like, you know. Oh, it's just in case. Yeah, that's faith, that, isn't it, you know. But God said you won't have to fight. And so the singers were trying to build faith. The singers were trying to lift their vision up to heaven, to focus on God, and to realize that God is in total control. And verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which they were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So, just as they began to sing, the angels of God moved and set an ambush. When you're in problems, when you're in trouble, when you're in difficulties, I suppose it sounds like the answer needs to be, begin to worship and praise God. Begin to worship. That's the last thing you think about doing. If you knew what state I'm in or what my situation is, you wouldn't be able to worship. There's an army massed against them. They're outnumbered. They're outgunned. They could quite easily be outplayed on the battlefield. God gives Jehoshaphat the word, and Jehoshaphat carries it out and says, right, sing us up front. Hang on. Yeah. Use all the arrows up on the singers, and then we'll get, you know. That's a good plan. Yeah, it's a good idea, yeah. Especially them that sing a bit flat, get them up front first, you know. God. And them that can't sing, put them right up front of it, you know, and hopefully, yeah, right up front line. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's always when the piano player starts playing, they all start singing, so shoot in first, you've got to stop your choir. Hey, that's true, though. I think in churches today, shoot the piano player or the guitarist, and they'll stop singing. But what is the Spirit orchestrating? We're not saying we're going to shoot you, Bill. It's all blood draining from your face then for a minute. Yeah, that's right. Shoot the chief and that's it. Everybody scatters. The thing what we've got to realise is that, you know, we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. Every one of us needs to be tuning in and to catching what the wind of the Spirit is. And so if you read the story, it goes on, and Jehoshaphat was won the battle. The army turned tail, set about itself, and God did a great work of deliverance for them, and they picked up the spoils. Sounds like a good story to me. Sounds like a good line that, you know, we could handle that. And we need to realise that God still wants to do that for us today. And did it with Joshua. But God wants to do that for us today. Now in John chapter 14 and verse 23, it tells us that we are to worship in spirit and in truth. So it's not in emotion, and it's not out of our minds, but it is out of our spirit. John's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 23. Somebody just read that out for me, please.
Did you say 23?
23, yes, Dad.
But the hour cometh, when now is, when the true worshipper will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Right. We'll just hold it there for a minute. Jesus is telling his disciples that this is what the Father wants. This is the pattern of what the Father wants. He wants the worship to be of spirit. Verse 24 says, God is spirit. Some of you King James say, God is a spirit. What does he?
Yeah.
He's not a spirit.
No,
he is the. He is spirit. There isn't another dimension of God the Father other than spirit. So God is spirit. And so for you and I to touch God in our worship, it has got to be out of our spirit, not out of our emotions. Now, when our spirit begins to touch God and our spirit catches a light, if you want, and starts to worship God, then there is a knock-on effect. And Andy was talking about it today when he stood here, saying that, you know, you can feel you've had a bad day, you're tired, and you come to church, and then just by being together, your spirit begins to lift, and the tiredness begins to go. And it's not to do with food, it's not to do with drugs or anything like that. It's the fact that your spirit energizes and gives life to this body. You see? It's the generator that gives life to your very body. You know? And the world tries to cut the drive belt that stops the generator spinning and you flag. And the toils and the situation of the world stop the generator turning, stop the generator focusing on God and just connecting with God. And so you and I have got to realize that we are to worship Him in spirit. Sometimes we'll start in the flesh. That's okay. We can handle that, you know, because our flesh also needs to be gratified in the things of God at times. God created us, has caused us, put flesh on us. So He's going to bless that. He's going to do away with it. There'll be no more aches and pains. Glory to God. But it is quickened by your spirit. And when your spirit begins to praise, so should your body begin to praise. You know, you see people, I'm praising God. Good. Let your face know. And let the rest of your body know that you're doing it, you know. Because praise is something to be glad about. Worship is something to be excited about. Because in worship, you are actually entering into the Holy of Holies. You're going into the holy place. You're going into the inner sanctum. You're going into the very presence of God. You are going onto His throne room. Wow. And you can only get there when you worship. You see, worship is part of a preparation. If you look at the high priest, the high priest was not allowed to go into the Holy of Holies with all his adornments on, was he? They had to be removed. And just, yeah, that's right. That's orthodoxy. You don't go and serve at the Lord's table in all the regalia. And so, it's symbolic of that as a reminder that when we come into His presence, we come simply. And as we come washed and cleansed and simply into his presence, then he is magnified. And the glory and the magnification of God begins to come over us. How do we know this to be true? We know this to be true because Moses went into the tabernacle and met with God. And when he came out, the people said, "Oh, cover your face. Cover your face." The glory. Because he'd been in the presence of God. Now, you're not telling me that Moses wasn't in that tent, in that tabernacle, worshipping God. Because he was. He wouldn't have been able to stand up. Because of the awesome presence of God. And he was before God. Wow. Now, what happened in the Old Testament to Moses, I believe is available to us today. That we can, if the church desires, can move itself, individuals can move themselves into such a way into the presence of God, and to begin to feel the touch and the power and the moving of God on their lives. And people will look at you and say, "You're different." And they might say, "Why?" Some might know why. "You've been with Jesus, haven't you?" they'll say. In reality, you've been with God. Absolute truth, you've been with God. That's God's desire. The Bible tells us that God is a jealous God. What's he jealous of? He's jealous of anybody else having you. He's jealous of anything else having you. And do you know when he knows when he's really got you? When he's really got hold of you, that's when you start to worship. Because you're not interested in anybody else, anything else. Nothing else has got your attention. Only God. You're not interested whether your flaps on your saxophone are dry, wet, green, yellow, blue, whether you've broke a string. You're not interested in that. Those are totally incidental. That's where we're going to come to. And so we can move, that is where God is. That is where God wants to draw his church. Because when his church gets into that sort of presence, then that's when the church moves into the power of an anointing that is great. Now, some of us are, better be careful how I say this, some of us are old hands at church life, aren't we? Some of us are not old hands at church life in one sense. But some of us that have been around a while have seen, back a few years, we've seen the presence of God moving. We've seen the power of God moving. We've seen the manifestation of the presence of God. And some of you will probably say, "Well, I really haven't." That's the fault of our praise and worship, as we call it. In my opinion, because the songs that have been written over these last few years have been focusing on ourselves and not upon the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, not upon the mighty God that we serve, but it's about, "Lord, meet my need, Lord, you know, touch me, Lord." Great song, yeah, I mean, and yeah, we all want a touch from God, but the only way you're really going to get a touch from God is when you actually bow the knee, submit to him, and move yourself into his presence. That's a real touch. That we can come out and people look at us and say, "Wow, I know where you've been." There are stories that go around about the great Welsh revival and that people were drawn to church because the people in church were under such a powerful anointing that the church building glowed, basically. There are stories of fires on the top of church buildings. Not literal fires, godly fires that appeared to be like literal fires. Even the fire brigade came out thinking the church, a church was on fire. There's one story in a small church somewhere in Wales that for 7 nights over the platform area of the church there was a face of a ram that had been slain. And it appeared, and it was there for 7 nights. And people kept coming in and getting saved. They walked in and saw it, they got saved. Because there was a manifest presence of God. And all that was started through prayer and worship. Seeking the face of God. Seeking the face of God. And, you know, you hear people today saying about the world and, oh, it's a desperate place, you know, things are bad and there's all these killings and it's not safe to be out. You've got to keep your doors locked. And there's always somebody looking for an opportunity to break in. I think I told you a story about the lady at the post office a couple of weeks ago. They forgot to lock the door. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, she heard noises. And there's 2 or 3 lads and they're loading everything up at the bottom of the stairs. Ready to walk out with everything. And she and her 2 sons heard something and they woke up and scared them off. The door had been left unlocked. I tell you something, at our house the angels have to work now and again. And we've left doors unlocked. Got up the next morning, I bet every one of us has done it. You know, you laugh at your mother, Grace. Don't forget to lock the door before, you know, when you leave. You say, oh, shut up, Mum, you know. Well, yeah. But you do it, you forget. And, you know, people can walk in. I told you a few months back, I went to work. Grace went to work. I usually go last. I was off first. Somebody left the door wide open for 8 hours. The next door neighbour walked down the driveway. It was on a Tuesday to put the dustbin away and the door must have just blown slightly as if it was closed. Never even looked at it. When I got home at 6 o'clock, I'm like, hang on. How did she beat me home? I've seen her. I'm sure she kind of got home before. I've just seen her on the road. I'm sure she pulled off to go to garage or something. And then I realised, I don't believe it. The door been left open all day. So you go in gingerly, you know, thinking, I wonder if there's anybody in, you know. I mean, you don't know, do you? The house could have been emptied. They could have had a furniture van and gone in and taken everything. In our sleepy little cul-de-sac, nobody knows. Mind you, Dennis might have done. But, I tell you need God's angels around you all the time. And so you thank God and you worship Him for things like that happening in your life. But our time together, Jesus said, God is spirit and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it's important to realize that. That it's not about a place, but it is about God. You see, so many people worship God in a building. Doesn't matter where we are. Doesn't matter where we are, we can worship God wherever we are. Because God is everywhere. His spirit roams to and fro throughout all the earth. And I'll tell you something, the moment you begin to worship, the moment that you lift your voice, His spirit will gather around you in greater presence and power. Because He's captivated by that. He's captivated by His people as we are captivated by Him. And so it's those things that God is wanting to do in our lives. this last couple of Sundays, as we've been coming to the end of our time of praise and worship. When I'm up there and just with the guitar, keyboards and singing and everything, I can hear everything around me going off at times, different things, and I hear the wrong notes and play the wrong chords and whatever else happens, you know, and you hear all of that going on. But on the last two Sundays, as we came towards the end of praise and worship, we began to just, the musicians just began to tune in a little bit to the Spirit. And we began to just sing a few words that weren't really from a song. And Andy was at the side of me, and Andy was beginning to sort of just follow in. It was beginning to just ebb and flow. And nobody's wrong in that. Yeah, because you're singing a song, a new song. See, the word says, sing a new song unto the Lord. What's the new song? A song that's never been sung before. And so we were beginning to just flow. And same again on this last Sunday night. Again, same thing. We began to just sing and we just began to enter in. It wasn't about necessarily playing instruments, because I think on both Sundays we stopped playing. I think Bill on the first Sunday was just quietly with the keyboard behind us, and it was just this thing of just beginning to flow. And you need to be able to sort of just, you've got to forget about yourself, concentrate on Him, and worship Him. Now there's a chorus, isn't there? So forget about yourself. Forget about anybody else. Well, no, you don't forget about anybody else in that sense, because you've got to learn, you've got to listen to the other voices. On a keyboard, you press one key, and it's basically like just a voice. But you can then get another key, and if you know how to play a keyboard, you can put that one down, and those two voices blend together, don't they? And you can then go for another one, and you can get all these different keys to harmonise and make a wonderful sound. If you can't play a keyboard, you probably can't do that. But the idea is that our voices begin to follow. And you hear somebody, the anointing will be upon them. This is a point that we get to, that, you know, God may just at that point in time just lay that anointing on somebody to begin to lead a song. May not be a musician. The musicians will not fall into a flat panic when, oh, I can't find key. What key are we in? You know, what's it matter? We'll just use the voice that God gave us, which is so many variables in it, and begin to rise in a crescendo of worship unto God. The old churches are good for this because of the acoustics that are in them, and they allow the it lifts the voice. Bless you. Stand over here. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I know. Just blew me through a wall. That's right. Yeah. Amen. There you go. There you go. Turn to dust. Not you. But the old churches, the buildings had this acoustic where people's, when they sang, it lifted, didn't it? I mean, you guys that go to the Church of England, you notice that, don't you? There's this resonance at times. Is it a bit dead in that one? Oh, well, pick wrong ones there, didn't I? You know. Sound, yeah, no. Yes.
I mean, I've heard a particular, when they were
pioneering electronic organs that replace pipe organs. I had the Auburn Bradford demonstrator at Liverpool Cathedral, and I heard the same modern demonstrator in the church in Woodford, Barnsley, Warren and Liverpool.
That's right. I know we, Lincoln Cathedral, we once went to hear Terry Law and his Come Together team, was it? And, I mean, they were great singers and they really could worship God. But in Lincoln Cathedral, that style of music was a waste of time. And the reason was, they were somewhere in the region of a 4 second, 3 to 4 second echo delay on it. And, you know, they'd finished and it was still going on and everything just ran into it. It just wasn't crisp and clear. Yeah, it was just confused because they were using electronic equipment and it just wasn't working. No, it wasn't sharp. It, you know, you couldn't sing with them because it's like, you could see the mouths moving, but it doesn't seem to be quite right, that. See, we're going around somewhere. We sat in the wrong place here, you know. You know, sometimes the keyboards and the guitars and the drums and that may not fit in a place at times, but the voice will. The voice does, you see. I remember when we went to Israel and we sang in one of the little chapels, didn't we? Do you remember that note? In Jerusalem. Yes, you can't remember. And we did anyway, I remember. And we sang it and it just lifts in this building. The acoustics were wonderful and just lifted. And God wants to hear your voice. Not necessarily does he want to hear Andy on the guitar or me or Luke on the saxophone. It's good at times, it is, but we've got so dependent on putting in a CD, putting in a tape, having a musician to lead us into worship. Scripture says that, you know, that you're the head of the house. You're the priest. Yeah? Well, in my book, in my understanding, that means you should be able to lead in worship. Entering into God's presence. You say, well, I can't sing. That's not what it's about. It's not quite what it's about. You can learn to sing. Zena's been taking lessons. Word says, have respect for your parents. Right? That's better. You'll be going on one of them school trips in 1950s that were on TV last night. Put you in there if you're not careful. I'll volunteer you. Yeah. But you see, you can, as you enter into God's presence, you forget about yourself. There's that chorus. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on him and worship him. Now these were the older songs. I think this one out of Terry Law, I think. To Come Together, was it? I can't remember. It's been written a while though, hasn't it, that one? It's an old one. And so as we, that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to do that. Because at the moment that you start concentrating on you, you're not worshipping God. You've got an idol in front of you. Believe it or not, you have an idol. And so God, you've got to get past that idol. And you've got to move into that worshipping God. Because God is a jealous God. That's what he says, he's a jealous God. And so, we're going to stay at that at the moment, for now. And we're going to try to just practice a little bit of worship. And alright, we'll probably set off and lead you, but then we're going to just sort of fade into the background. And it's about you just stepping out of the boat and onto the water. It's about you stepping off the shore side and putting your foot into the river. But I've never done this before. That's okay. Doesn't matter. Nobody's here to judge, because we're not looking at you. We're listening to each other. And they're saying, you know, if somebody gets that anointing and it begins to flow, then we follow it. So the key to what we're going to try and do, no, the key to what we will do is we are to develop a listening ear. Listen. Listen to where the Spirit is leading. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. God called Samuel. Listen. And then follow. And somebody, the anointing might just rest on somebody and they start to lead as well. Just follow. And we're going to experiment. Any questions? No.
A lot in the Old Testament, they shout.
That's right, yeah.
You know, they shout about people, they shout and pray for.
That's right,
and
yeah.
They were just told to pray for all the blood of the Christ. That's all it is, because a lot of the early church people I think Bishop reminded us when he was here that the psalms were sung.
That's right.
They were sung without music.
Yes.
They were chanted.
That's right, yeah. We might try that sometime as well, because that actually helps in worship. To you lose the problem is you can have inhibitions. What happens if I get it wrong? Don't worry about it. What if I'm out of key? If you listen, you'll soon get back into a key. Well, I'm tone deaf. Don't worry about it. We'll cover you. That's right, exactly. No, and you will never grow beyond where you've sought to press in. You have to press in that little bit closer and further. It's new to me to some degree. I mean, we've done a little bit in the past. It's not a total isolation thing, but it's something that, you know, if we break through this, we will honestly break down a lot of our inhibitions. And will allow us to move into worship much freer. There used to be a dear coloured lady in Doncaster. And, suddenly the Spirit of God had come on her. And she would shout. And when she shouted, If you were a bit bored and nodding off, you weren't bored and nodding off for long. Bye. It was like she had a voice like a thunderclap, hadn't she, bless her? I mean, don't get me wrong, she was great. She was right on, and she could shout, glory to God, and you'd see them that were nodding and they'd come up the thing, the rapture had come nearly, they were going like But she just, the presence of God just came on, and she got excited with the presence of God. She did, yeah. Well, I didn't like to mention names, Dad, Oh, dear. So we, Brian. So I believe that's part of the way that God, really God wants his church. See, God wants to get hold of his church. I'll say that again. God wants to get hold of His church. You know, He wants to redeem it back from control of man. God wants to get back into the church so that there will be signs, wonders, and miracles. There's plenty singing. There's plenty preaching. But the Word says, like Philip said on Sunday, signs and wonders shall accompany and follow the preaching of the Word. But we're not seeing it. I don't mean here. I'm generalising the situation. It's not being seen. Because if it was being seen, then churches will be growing in the presence and the power of God. And our nation would not be in the state it's in. It's a simple statement, and I'm sure that's right. So, and we can do something in our small corner to His praise and to His glory. Amen. Our ability to worship God comes out of our heart.
Yeah.
Our heart relationship, our spiritual relationship that we have with the Lord. And I mean, you all know this, but you need to realise it more, how crucial it is. If you are having a real bad time and you're not talking to God, you ain't going to worship God neither, are you? Come on, you know, let's be truthful, isn't it? We don't worship God when we're having a bad time and we've fallen out with Him, or the situation's not going our way, and we don't talk to Him. If we're not talking to Him, we're not going to worship Him. That's an absolute truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think I'm worshipping Him when I'm not even talking to Him. You've got to be joking. You know, let's be real about this. And so the depth of our worship, the power of our worship, will come out of our relationship
yeah.
that we have with God.
Yeah.